Hello, everyone, and welcome to Behind the Mic Radio. I am your host, Dawn Mack, and welcome to Monday night and to a brand new week. And I hope that everyone out there has had a great day and your week is off to a wonderful start. We are so very excited tonight because our guest, you know and love her from one of daytime's favorite soaps, has been mine for a very, very long time. And, well, actually, since the show began. So, you know, we go way back. But nonetheless, she is best known for her portrayal of Donna Logan Forrester on the CBS daytime drama Bold and the Beautiful. She's also well known for her role of Grace Turner on The Young and the Restless. She has also held roles on Miss Congeniality and The Sixth Day. Tonight, we proudly welcome Jennifer Garrett. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being here and giving us some of your time this evening.
You're welcome.
Greatly appreciate it.
Well, sure.
First of all, I've always kind of been curious about this, and that is, you know, I kind of want to start at the beginning and ask how you got your start in show business.
How I got my start? Well, I was an exchange student in Spain way, way long ago. And there was a beauty pageant, and the host sisters that I had, I stayed with the family. So the sisters, what I called them, that I had told me to enter it. And I thought, oh, no way. Why should I do that? And I did, and I won. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I came back. I was Miss Mosquita de Malaga, España. So I came back to the United States, and I thought, oh, well, this is very interesting. That's a very interesting way to win money, because I actually won money as a prize. Mm-hmm. And I think I could continue this. It was summertime, and I continued to do things like that. And by the end of the summer, I was Miss Hawaiian Tropic, USA. So I thought, wow, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I traveled around with Hawaiian Tropic for about a year or two doing photo shoots and commercials all over the world, and after that somebody said, oh, well, maybe you should be a model, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. And I, you know, it's just one step at a time. After I was modeling, they said maybe you should do commercials. So I thought, okay, sure, I'll try it. You know, maybe you should do acting. So then it just kind of one thing led into the other thing, and I ended up being an actress.
Well,
just happened,
you know,
gradually, I suppose.
It is no surprise that you were a contestant in a beauty contest, because you're absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you're beautiful.
Oh,
and
you.
Well, and I must tell you, I remember you from the early days of daytime when you made your debut on The Young and the Restless. And to me, Jennifer, honestly, I don't think you've aged a drop in all these years. I mean, really, because you've been in daytime a little while now. So you're absolutely gorgeous. But to that note, I do understand now. Tell me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that you actually won the Miss New York USA title back in 94, and then went on to represent New York in the Miss USA pageant. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, you know what's funny? That was actually a turnaround, I'd say, in my career, because before that, I was trying to act, and it didn't seem like anyone would give me any attention. I was going to different agencies, trying, you know, to basically audition for them. And, yeah, then, you know, some people were sort of interested, but not super interested. After that show was televised, the Miss USA pageant, I came home from that trip with tons of messages on my answer machine.
Yeah.
It must have been like, wait, we remember this girl. She was knocking down our door in New York trying to get in, and we wouldn't give her time of day. And then all of a sudden, I was in the Miss USA pageant, and I did pretty well. I was in, you know, the top few, you know, for each category, and they all of a sudden wanted to sign me up, everyone. So that kind of jump-started my career, I suppose. Before that, I was, you know, studying and trying and hoping, but after that pageant, it kind of, people actually took me seriously. So that was
I'm so glad that they did, because we have had the tremendous pleasure of seeing you on screen, on our television screens, for a good while now. And just playing, you know, both The Young and the Restless and now Bold and the Beautiful. And You're just a phenomenal actress. And I've been a fan of B&B from day one, and have always enjoyed, you know, the writing and the characters and just how everything has been played from the beginning. And so no doubt I would have to say that, you know, listening to you, that your pageant experience, and that experience in particular, definitely prepared you for where you are today, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it gave me a certain stage presence, that's for sure. Gave me a competitive edge, I would say that. And, you know, it just, yeah, it trained you. It definitely trained you in a certain way. Like, you know, if you want to win, you know what to do in order to win. You have to take it seriously. You have to get in shape. You have to do similar things to what you would do in acting, I suppose. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, I think any kind of training that you do, my swimming has trained me and disciplined me to, you know, get to win and to get what I want. And it's the same type of discipline that you need for acting or for school or for whatever. So, yeah, I definitely think they all go hand in hand that way.
Oh, yeah. I think anything you do requires discipline to get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Without it, you almost can't achieve it. I mean, that's
and you can
kind
transfer
of always been my personal philosophy. Yeah.
Sure. You can transfer it to other things, too. I mean, it doesn't always have to be like sports or academics. I think it's always, you know, it's easily transferable if you have that, really, that drive and the ambition.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, obviously, daytime television probably was not something that you set out to do from the word go, but how did you actually end up in daytime?
Well, I remember the day that I had that audition at Young and the Restless. I was slam-packed with so many other auditions because it was pilot season. I had a movie audition that day. I had a pilot audition. I had a few commercial auditions. And that was the last audition of the day. And I was pulling into the lot, and I was so swamped. I was finally looking at the material, and I just thought, oh, my gosh, like, this is, like, crazy. How am I going to do this? And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to give them what I think they want. I'm just going to do what I think this character should be. You know, I don't want to go in there nervous and be like, oh, what do they want, what they want, you know, and not really hit the nail on the head. I'm just going to do exactly what I want to do, and I'm not going to try to impress anyone. And somehow or another, that attitude won the job, which was very interesting because I think maybe it was that I was confident and I wasn't nervous and I was real and myself, because I thought I'm going to be myself and I'm going to get the job by doing that instead of, like, trying to figure everything out. You know what I mean? Because you never know what you're going to want. If you're you're so busy trying to figure that out, you totally might miss it. So So it was that attitude that I got a call back on it, and they basically it ended up working out. It was funny though. It didn't work out for that character in particular, but it did work out for another character. I tried out for the part of Victoria. And if you know who Victoria was, I was replacing, I suppose, Heather Tom. She must have gone to New York to do her other soap. And I didn't end up with the part of Victoria, but I got the part of Grace. So that was very interesting.
Well, you know, it's interesting to hear the backstory to this because, you know, that was when I first became familiar with you, was when you landed in Genoa City on The Young and the Restless, playing the role of Grace Turner, which was Sharon's best friend. And you know, it was just such a great role because, you know, you played Grace so well and you made her your own, and it just came across that way. Was there aspects of yourself that you incorporated into that character to make your scene so real and believable?
Well, I don't know, man. I'll tell you what Grace was like. She was a pretty bad person because some of the stuff she did. And I would read the scripts and I would just be like, oh, my goodness, how am I ever going to say this? How am I ever going to do this? This is just like evil and wrong and like horrible. And I was like, okay, just throw that away and justify it. You have to always justify it, you know, as an actor. You have to justify why you're doing things. Or else it just can't be believable to yourself. So I was just like, was it myself? I don't know. I mean, because she was pretty evil. If I say it was myself, then I'd have to be—I'd be admitting that I'm pretty evil. So I'm not sure if I want to admit that. I mean, she slept with her best friend's husband, and you know, wanted to. She did terrible things. She took the little girl away, Cassie, and you know, she did all sorts of things.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it's just another, you know, time and again you hear from the Bell legacy of the writing, you know, both online or in B&B. And the storyline that was such a risk for Y&R, because when you think about the whole, you know, Sharon, Nick pairing, you know, this was a major shakeup for them. And you know, and I just remember so well that Grace was kind of at first a very likable person, and then I think the whole viewers were like, really? Are you kidding me? She's turned on her friend, and she's sleeping with her friend, best friend's husband. You know, it was just kind of,
pretty
rotten.
But there was some hot chemistry between the two, Grace and Nick, though, I must say.
We had no doubt. No doubt. I mean, it was, you know, you guys had great chemistry. And I've always said, though, Josh Romero could, you know, he could have chemistry with just about anyone, anything. He is just such a great actor, and you know, and he plays things so well, and he can, you know, he can arise to the moment at any time. So it was really good, the whole, you know, the whole storyline, just how it all unfolded and played out from start to finish.
He definitely wasn't so difficult to work with, or definitely wasn't difficult to kiss, I must say. I wasn't complaining. I was not complaining about those scenes at all.
Yeah, I bet not. Yeah, like, you know, every woman out there is going, gosh, could we just see Grace for a day, you know, I mean, you know, fawning over him. But but now, you know, obviously Grace quickly became a character the fans did not care for, because she came between Sharon and Nick. So did you receive any backlash from fans, and how did you handle it?
Oh, I remember this woman one time coming after me with her umbrella, calling me a homewrecker. I was like in a public place, and she was coming after me with her umbrella. I was just like, "Hi, I'm Jennifer." I'm, you know, trying to like change the subject, and she just was like, she just wouldn't have it. She would not leave me alone. I was like, "Oh my gosh, am I gonna have to call security?"
Well, you know, it is funny, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I saw Joshua recently. He mentioned the very same thing about, you know, this lady came up to him in the airport. She just hauled off and smacked him, and he's like, "Ma'am, I'm Joshua Morrow, and I play Nick on TV."
That is crazy.
I know, really, but you know, no doubt about it. Daytime fans are some of the, if not. Some of the most passionate fans in the world. And
it's wonderful to be passionate, but that you've got to draw the line.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, it's always amazed me how, you know, how fans of daytime, you know, you get so sucked into the stories, and the stories seem so real because there's so many life-changing things and so identifiable in so many ways that I think sometimes fans have a difficulty separating the actor from the character, because
that's true.
You know, I've done it. You know, sometimes in the past, you know, when I was growing up and watching soaps in the summers and stuff, you know, I would refer to the actors and actresses as their character name. It was hard for me to say, "Oh, that's so and so," although I knew the difference. But still, are people that obviously, you know, to them, an actor who they play on a daytime, you know, drama is who they are, not the actor, the real person.
Of course.
So, you
and
know,
it's not like
you
see them once a week, which you would for primetime. You see them every day, all year long.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a season.
Yeah.
The season is the year. You know, the night, the day that it plays is every day. It's not, you know, it's a lot different. I mean, it's really inundated in your house. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It really does, you know, I think daytime the daytime dramas become part of our families, and because it is just an adoptable thing. I mean, it's something you see day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now what do you think was the most misunderstood thing about your character, Grace, that you played on Y&R? I mean, we know she had her evil spots, but I mean, underneath all of that, what do you think was the most misunderstood?
That she really did love Cassie, that she really did want what's best for her, and she kind of didn't really do such a good job of showing that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Cassie's a little girl, you know, so I think she was trying to protect Sharon. She was trying, you know, she was trying so hard to do so many different things, and she just kind of didn't choose the best options, I suppose. You know, her actions don't show her caring.
Oh,
I would say that. And also with Tony, you know, she really wanted to make it work, and that just didn't seem to make it work.
And it is funny how, you know, so many years go by. Like, I, just until you mentioned Tony, I had completely forgot about the whole Tony aspect of that, the storyline, you know. It was, and now that you mentioned, it's like, oh, my gosh, yes, it brings it all back now. It's amazing. You know, it just goes to show you just how much history there is in daytime. You know, with any character, so much history. And so you turning from that to B&B, you know, I first want to offer my personal congratulations to you and the entire cast and crew on just another phenomenal year. I mean, what, this is 26 years now. And that's outstanding. I mean, that is no small feat, you know, to be in daytime, especially in this day and time, no pun intended, to have that longevity, you know.
Yeah, our show's been very lucky. We've been doing very well, both internationally and domestically, and be very lucky and honored to be a part of a cast like that. And the acting is wonderful, the writing's wonderful, and the fans probably don't know this, but the real life people there are just amazing. Like, whether it be the actors or the cast, the crew, the office, everybody, they're just, it's an amazing group of people. They really handpicked the most amazing people in LA and put them together in a show. I feel so blessed to be over there. It's like,
That's so true. And I said, and I didn't mean to interrupt. I was saying that I agree with you 100%. That is so completely true. I honestly could not see, you know, any other cast on The Bold and the Beautiful, but who is on The Bold and the Beautiful. You guys just make it work, and it really is, you can really tell by what's being portrayed on screen that off screen, you guys really are a family.
Yeah.
This very close-knit group of people.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a great ride there.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, what are some of your fondest memories to date that you have of being part of B&B?
I love Susan Flannery. She's just amazing. I miss her a lot. I felt like she was somewhat of a mentor to me. During many scenes that we would do, I didn't know what I was going to do, how to play it, and she is somewhat of a director, you know, I would say. You know, she just gives you ideas that really just close the scene for you. You know what I mean? Like, that you're not quite sure what to do, and she just gives you a tiny little tip that all of a sudden everything makes sense. You're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then you do it, and actually it's a great scene. You're like, oh, my gosh, that's wonderful. That was a wonderful adjustment. So she was really amazing that way, and I enjoyed learning from her. I loved Donna with John McCook. Donna with Eric, I should say. That would be interesting, Donna with John McCook. No.
yeah.
No, but Donna with Eric, I loved working with him. He is hilarious. I mean, during rehearsal, he always would do the funniest things, He'd, like, you know, pretend to bump his head on the door as he leaves and exits the room and, you know, gets the whole crew laughing. He does that kind of stuff, like, all the time. He's just so funny. So the lightheartedness that he has is always wonderful to work with. And I haven't worked with John for a while because my character is not with his character, at least not intimately. And with Susan, she's no longer on the show, so I miss that. I miss that a lot.
You are not alone. I think, you know, every B&B fan out there is sorely missing Susan and her presence on that show. You know, it is such a different dynamic now because when she was on the show, you know, her character, you know, Stephanie, it just seemed like, you know, since she departed, it's like every storyline that's unfolded, I personally have not been able to help but say, okay, what would Stephanie do if this mm-hmm. were going on right now? You know, mm-hmm. You know, which this kind of really is a testament to her presence and the strength of character that, you know, that was there in Stephanie Forrester.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she is sorely missed, and but it's so good to see, you know, how the show is moving on, you know, without her and Ron, for that matter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and it's still going strong. I mean, there's still some great storylines that are being played right now, especially the one right now, without discussing it, is, you know, with the book, the Brooke, Bill, and Katie triangle, and how that's all kind of
unfolding. Oh, I'm sure she has a lot to
speak.
You have a lot to say about that one.
Well, that and the whole Taylor-Eric storyline, I don't know what she'd have to say about that either. But, yes, it's like right now I'd be going, I'm just like, oh, poor Steph. <You know? laughs> but needless to say, you know, it's always interesting to see what B&B is going to, you know, to do because, you know, they've always been just a 30-minute show and it's just always worked. But they're, sometimes I go, gosh, I wish they were an hour long because some of the storylines, it's like you would like to have that hour, you know, like with some of the other soaps, just to have that full time duration. But then again, you know, the 30 minutes, it's always worked, and it's almost like if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, just leave it alone and then go with what does work.
I do believe they're an hour in some countries now just to catch them up because some of the countries, foreign countries, are maybe 5 years behind, so they're trying to catch them up.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone wants to watch an hour, they could go there. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you know, it is amazing how B&B is the one daytime drama that is international in so many countries, and people around the world just love Bold and the Beautiful. You know, it's just amazing how that has gained in popularity.
If there's any kind of classic type of a show, that's a classic show, in
mm-hmm.
my opinion. It's been around for a long time. It's, you know, it's stand the test of time.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Now, you know, there have been so many great storylines on B&B, and Brad Bell is just a genius when it comes to this sort of thing. And what do you feel has been the storyline on B&B, whether past or recent or what have you, that changed both the cast and the viewers?
The storyline that has changed the cast and the viewers, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that had the biggest impact, I guess, is a better way to put it.
Well, I mean, what we were just saying, Stephanie's death is absolutely top on the list, I would say, because the whole relationship with her and Brooke and her had a very strained relationship, and at the end they kind of found their peace. I'd say she found her peace with almost everyone towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a definite, that's a definite storyline that is high on the list. What other one? Donna and Eric.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Oh, Donna and Eric. Yes, and Donna and Eric again. No, I'm kidding. they were great together, but that's, I don't know if that's high on the list. What else would you say? You know, I always like when they do the meaningful storylines, like, you know, Stephanie's cancer or the homeless
mm-hmm.
or things that have some sort of significance.
Mm-hmm.
And they always try to touch people in different ways, you know, with the different storylines like that with the homeless. Or they'd like to have some sort of impact with people emotionally, but, you know, to something that really matters. So I'd say that those are the storylines that are pretty good. And those are, you know, those are actually the Emmy-winning storylines, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think when Katie got shot and had her everything with the heart transplant, I think that was an amazing storyline. That had a huge impact, I'd say, for quite some time, and we're going back to that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Katie ended up back in the hospital just recently and on the show. So there's a lot of them. It'd be really hard to pick just one or even a few.
Yeah, I agree. There have been so many through the years. You know, when you think of, you know, all the storylines that have unfolded with Ridge and Brooke, and then, you know, and personally, just through the whole Donna Eric storyline. I really liked them as a couple. Stephanie didn't care for Gwen Iota.
I love them too.
Pam hated the idea, but I liked that pairing. I really did. And when, you know, after everything, you know, after Stephanie died, I was kind of over there to the side saying secretly to myself, gosh, I hope Donna and Eric get back together, you know.
I thought that too.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole Taylor-Eric thing just kind of came out of left field. I was really surprised about that. I mean, if the writers were looking to surprise the viewers,
well,
I don't think
totally
anyone saw that
him.
One coming.
She's totally
yes.
using him.
We
She's
would
trying
agree.
To get ahead.
Yes.
She's trying to get ahead and get her children ahead. I know it.
That's so true. That's so true. And I agree with you. But, I mean, but, you know, Donna truly loved Eric.
Yeah.
There was no doubt. And I think he truly loved her, you know.
I think
they
brought
would allow him to, you know. But it was a great coupling, I thought.
And they brought the best out of each other. There was no nonsense. There was no bull crap. Like, they both spoke the truth when they spoke to each other. They didn't have
mm-hmm.
anything to hide. They were just, like, completely 100% open and honest and vulnerable and exposed everything to each other, you know? And there's not
oh,
many
yeah.
relationships that actually happen like that. So I think...
That's so true.
Yeah, I think they were great for each other. They truly loved each other. Even though there was a huge age gap. Well, John McCook will be mad if I say huge age gap. But, you know, there was a little bit of an age gap. And, you know, but it didn't really come into play. I don't think so.
Well, I don't think that, you know, even as a viewer, I never really said, you know, I never took that in it. I mean, John is, oh, my gosh, he's so incredibly handsome, you know, and you don't even, I never saw it as an age gap because
you
have
that chemistry
on screen.
Every time an interviewer would ask me, like, what do you think? Like, it's such a big age gap. And I always think, oh, right, yeah. I don't even think about it. Like, they have to remind me of it. Because he's so youthful, you know, and like
mm-hmm.
inside him, he's the jokester, he's the funny one, he's always happy and always full of energy in life, and he doesn't seem old. Not that he is old. I'm not saying he is, but he doesn't seem older than me. You know,
yeah,
he seems like the same.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you people on Bold and Beautiful, you just age so gracefully. I mean, you don't even. I mean, I've been watching you guys since you came on air, and to me, you're still just as youthful as you were 20 years ago. I don't see the changes. You know, I can't say that about myself, but when I look at people on TV, it's like, wow. You know, it's just amazing how
maybe it's the
great
pregnancies
you guys
that I've had. You know, the pregnancies, you get the pregnant glow going.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, you're naturally beautiful anyway, so that. You know, that is a great testament to your beauty. Before we let you go, we wrap, do you have time to take one call?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all righty. We're going to go ahead and... Hello, you're on with Jennifer.
Hello. I'm nervous. Hi, Jennifer. It's Pam Rogers from New York, Rochester, New York.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much.
I wanted to ask you... I had written about Bradley Bell so much on your behalf about getting a storyline for Donna.
Mm-hmm.
So if he does one, would you want her character to be with somebody that she's been with or a new character on the show?
Well, let's see. I would say I would love to be, Donna would be back with Eric. However, if that's not possible... Then, Justin would be wonderful. And if that's not possible, the doctor, Katie's doctor's pretty hot. We could start up a new storyline there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, the possibilities are endless, though. You know, not endless, because I can't go with somebody I'm related to, of course.
And I want to thank you, your mom, and your sisters for being so friendly to me on Facebook. I love you guys to death.
Thank you for all of your wonderful presents that you've given.
Well, you'll have more coming. Now, I want to ask you quickly, too, what size is Sophia taking in Gavin in clothes?
Sophia is now 9 months, but she
I know her birthday's coming up.
Yeah, she's as big. I just got her 12-month clothes, but sometimes I get her between 12 and 18. She's that big.
12 and 18.
She's
and what about Gavin?
And then Gavin is doing, he's almost 3, so he's basically 3T.
3T, okay.
Yeah.
You want something 3T or something a little bit bigger?
3T is pretty, he's pretty solid, like 3T.
Yeah.
Like Sophia's really a lot bigger than what she, her age, her, you know, at 9 months, she's in 18-month clothes, basically, from 12 to 18-month clothes.
Is she starting to talk and walk a lot?
She's trying to stand, and she stands by herself for, like, a second or two, and then I have to catch her, and she loved walking, so I, like, assist her with, you know, basically I just have to give her my pinky, and she can walk along holding my pinky. She's doing pretty well. So I have a feeling in the next month she's going to be walking. It's pretty exciting. And she's talking, you know, she's babbling. She's babbling, like, Mom. She says, dad, 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 mama, baba. You know, like that type of stuff.
Oh,
right?
How
so
cute.
It's amazing. I love it.
Well, I'll let you go, and it was a pleasure talking to you. And
you can expect some packages next month,
and then next, for probably 2 or 3 months, I'll be sending you more packages for the kids' birthdays and Mother's Day and Father's Day gifts.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate
and
you calling.
Have a good night, Jennifer.
Oh, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ah, she's so nice. I really enjoyed talking with her off air.
Oh, yeah, she's great. She's a great fan.
She's lovely. Well, I want to thank you for taking some of your precious time to be with us this evening and sharing some great, great memories about Lionar and talking about B&B. It's just been so much fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much, Donna. It was nice talking to you.
Ah, same here. Well, I know that I don't need to say this, but best of continued luck, because we know that you will have that. I enjoy seeing you on our screens as the B&B fans do. So we look forward to seeing you more and more as time unfolds, and love the fact that you're on our screens right now a lot with the current storylines that are going on.
Yeah.
So, phenomenal acting, and thank you for bringing such great work to us, in entertainment all of these years. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
All right, thank you so much for having me on the show. All right, well, you're so welcome, and take care, and best of luck to you and your family.
Okay, all right.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, there you have it. Jennifer Garris from Bold and the Beautiful. She plays the role of Donna Logan Forrester. And what a sweet, sweet person. She is great. So enjoyed speaking with her. And just, you know, getting the lowdown on different aspects. I wish we had had longer to speak with her, but she is a new mom, and she was telling Pam, our caller, and so, you know, she's on a very tight schedule. I remember what those days were like for me. It seemed like just yesterday, and now mine are practically grown. But nonetheless, we wanted to be respectful of her time. So perhaps we will have her back at a later date where we can, you know, we can get more calls on. And if you called in and we did not get to your call, we do apologize. But never fear, we will try to reschedule with her to have her back at a later date. And maybe you'll get to visit her at that time. All right, so that is pretty much going to wrap our show for tonight. However, before I close, I want to give you a rundown of what's coming up tomorrow night. We have a comedian who is going to be with us. His name is Tom Cotter. Now, you may know him as being a finalist on NBC's America's Got Talent. Now, he was the first comedian to ever reach the finals of that show, but he has done all kinds of things in the world of comedy. I mean, he has become a familiar face on television shows like The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, NBC's Last Comic Standing, The Today Show, and he actually has his own series called Too Funny on the Women's Entertainment Network. But he's been on The Late Late Show, you know, Comics Unleashed, Barbara Walters Primetime Special. I mean, the list just goes on and on. He is hugely funny. His name is Tom Cotter. And I just cannot wait to talk with him. I'm sure he's going to crack us up. But he will be here at 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow evening. And then coming on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, we have a tap dancer by the name of Andrew Niemer. Now, Andrew Niemer was mentored by the late, great Gregory Hines. And I'm sure everyone knows who Gregory Hines is. But in the world of dance and art, Andrew Niemer is really, really world-renowned. I mean, he has studied under some of the best dancers in the world, primarily Gregory Hines is his mentor. But he has done so many great things, and we're going to be talking with him about his, you know, esteemed career and just all the things that he has going on right now. So that is 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night. So, and with that, there's one other thing I wanted to let you guys know. You know, as you know, many of you know that I have two shows. I have this show, Behind the Mic Radio, and then I have my Jam and Jukebox radio show where we play music and conduct interviews of indie artists. Well, now I'm adding, we are expanding the family of shows, and we are now going to be starting a new show in the next couple weeks called Life Beats Radio. And what Life Beats Radio is it is a radio show that is going to be bringing a lot of inspirational, feel-good type content to you. We will be playing, you know, Christian music, faith-based music. We'll also be doing, you know, bringing some really good guests from the world of Christian music and authors, and I mean, you name it. It's going to kind of be like my Behind the Mic and my Jam and Jukebox show combined into one show. However, there's going to be a lot more that we're going to be able to offer you on that show from that realm. So, you know, we are real excited about this. It is really going to be, you know, I think a great show. And we're going to be bringing, you know, ordinary people to the show who talk about, you know, their life experiences, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I guess the best way to describe our show is that it's an uplifting and positive radio show that empowers, motivates, and inspires listeners with life-enriching special guests, topics, music, and more. And our concept is to highlight, you know, ordinary people, as I said, doing extraordinary things to make a difference in the world. And we're going to be showcasing, you know, lots of different stories of faith, hope, love. We're very, very excited to be bringing this life-changing platform to all of you. And our motto is, life unfolds one beat at a time, revealing some of the most touching and inspiring moments that we like to call life beats. And I can tell you that we've already started booking guests for the show, and we've got some really great guests. And one of the guests that we are going to be bringing to you that many of you may know is, his name is Jerry B. Jenkins. If the name doesn't ring a bell, then perhaps the fact that he sold 65 million copies of the Left Behind book series, maybe that will ring a bell. He is the author of that series of books, so we are going to be having him on our show in the very near future. We'll be, you know, putting the putting it out there when he will be on the show. We've got some other great guests that we're already lining up, and it's just going to be a great show. I'm so, so excited. So if you want to check out our website, we've got it finished. It's up and running now. It's lifebeatsradio.com, and you can also follow us on Twitter at lifebeatsradio. And so, that's all the exciting good news I have for you tonight. So, with that, I'm going to wrap, and I want to say thank you to everyone for being, you know, being here, listening, supporting us, always, you know, coming back time and time again to show your support and to listen to our shows. We greatly, greatly appreciate it so very much. If you're brand new to our show, thank you for being here. Welcome aboard, and we would love to have you back anytime. All right, guys, have a great evening, and hope your week progresses nicely. Take care, all. Good night.
Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at BehindTheMicRadio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast and, as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.